good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears along with you on this Tuesday, April the 12th, 2016, 1:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's turning into quite an historic day here in Marion, Ohio. If you didn't hear, about an hour ago, a meeting, I don't know if it concluded or at least the news was released, that an estimated $7.3 million project is going to start to build a Harding Center here in Marion and do some renovations on the Harding home. The restoration and start of the construction of this center will start in 2017, and it will wrap up in 2020 with the grand opening taking place in 2020, the 100-year anniversary of the election of President Warren G. Harding. In hour number one, we heard from the author of The Harding Affair, Jim Robinault, and Peter Harding, nephew, great-nephew of President Warren G. Harding. And in this hour, we're speaking exclusively, hours after it happened, with President Harding's closest living relative in an exclusive interview. So glad to have him back. Haven't talked with him since Christmas on air and our big interview, first interview he did in Marion, and I believe anywhere else, after the DNA test proved that his grandmother, Nan Britton, was indeed telling the truth, and his mother, Elizabeth Blessing, was the only child of President Warren G. Harding, which makes him the grandchild of President Warren G. Harding. We're so glad to welcome Jim Blessing. Jim, how are you?
Good, good. How you doing?
Always good to talk with you. The news has broken about the center here. We're going to get to that later in the interview, but we did have a call last hour when somebody asked, did your grandmother Nan tell your mother that she was the daughter of President Harding?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know how early in life she told her that?
You know, I don't remember the date. I actually just saw that and read something about it, just in personal stuff. It was after she was older. She originally, after she had her adopted by her sister. Nan's sister adopted her to keep her out of the press and keep her kind of out of all the harm's way and whatever. And it was when she was older, and my grandmother had taken her back. She did all the paperwork. I have the letters where she took back full custody of my mom. And I think it was after that, a while after that, that she had told her. She was older. She was a little older.
What was your mother's reaction in your lifetime to being the daughter proclaimed of President Harding?
It was mixed. She had a hard time with it. I think we talked about this last time. There was so much going on. There was constant fear and harassment all the time. And she had a mixed feeling. She was really concerned about this. My mom and my grandmother used to kind of go at it at times, because my mom's, of course, her thing was us three boys. She was more concerned about her kids and the danger to us, or being involved in this and what could happen from that. And my grandmother was proud of the whole thing and talked about it openly, and they kind of had a little thing about that. That kind of went back and forth for quite a while. But I tell the story, I think I told it to you. My mom used to always say she didn't like getting on the bus or the train with my grandmother, because by the time they got off, everybody knew the name story. You know, she'd tell everybody and everybody knew who they were, and it kind of bothered my mom. One of the things with my mom is we have limited pictures of her, and actually I just found a letter the other day too of someone had sent me a picture. When she moved up to Oregon before I moved up, they sent me a picture, a birthday party for one of my nieces or nephews, and they even wrote in the note they sent to me, as usual, you can see that we had a hard time getting Grandma in the picture, and she was always that way, afraid to have her picture taken. She was very laid back. The fear, I think, was more involved than anything else, because we used to get threats all the time on the phone and things like this. So that was always in the back of her mind, and my dad. That was a big fear of theirs. So that was, I think, what motivated most of it, was that. Other than that, she was okay with it. That was the only problem they had, really, was that she was kind of wanted to keep it low key, and she wanted, my grandmother wanted to be out about it. Of course, she wrote a book, and you know, so it was already out there.
You know, Jim, one of the interesting things is we just learned that you and your family went out to California and met with the Harding family. What members of your family went? What Harding family members were there? And how'd it go?
It went great. There was quite a few of the Hardings. I think there was like 17 of them. All cousins, nieces. There was actually even a younger one, one of the niece's daughters that was criticized. She couldn't have been about her 20s. So it was a real nice mix. And then my older brother went, and my daughter went, and her family, her husband Ian, and my grandson Mason. We all went. My younger brother couldn't make it. He couldn't get off of work. And his family all had started new jobs, and my son didn't go because he just now had started a new job with the sheriff's department, and it was too early to get off. But we went. We had a great time. It was wonderful. It was so nice to meet all. We found they were just like us. They're very down to earth, very nice people. We couldn't have had a better time, and we couldn't have had a better family to ask for with this side of the family. It was just great. And actually, when my daughter, we had a get together dinner in Carmel Valley, the very first night, and everybody showed up, and my daughter was there, and I could tell she was just enjoying them all. And she left a little bit early because their motel was farther away, and she texted me back on her way to the hotel and told me, "Dad, these are great people. We really made out. We couldn't have asked for nicer and greater people." So it was nice. It was very nice. It's nice to have them. And Peter and I have been close for quite a while. And Abby, we've talked, and Abby and Peter and I did the DNA test together, so we had quite a connection there already. But everybody was wonderful. It was so nice to spend time with everybody. It was very enjoyable.
Considering these people were not really considered family, were there those little things when you got together that it felt like family?
Yes, I was actually going to say that to you. It was almost like we had known them our lives. And one of the things I did tell one of them, it breaks my heart that we haven't had them in our life this whole time. I don't know if you relate to this, but you know when you meet someone and you just connect, and you know that you could have been friends with them for your whole life, or would have been someone that would have been someone you could have been close with? That's how I felt with these guys. I just felt so comfortable. We felt that we were a part of the whole thing. We felt that it was always there. We just never had the connection. It was nice, and I see similarities in some of them that I see in my family, and it was very interesting. It was very enjoyable.
You know, Jim, since we talked last time, because when the article came out that proved that the DNA test proved that your mother was the daughter of President Harding, there were still some Harding family members, not Peter, who were having a problem with this. As a matter of fact, one of them said something in the article, I believe, and people can go back and look at the New York Times if they want to read that. But have all the family members come around?
No, not at all. There's two sides to the family, and I did. I learned some very interesting stuff at this get-together and whatever, and I did have a visit from Richard Harding, flew out and met me. He flew to Portland. He had to go to a buddy at his wedding, and he came out, and we sat down for a lunch visit for quite a while, and he seemed very nice, seemed enjoyable, but he's not on board, and he just kind of asked me to cool it down, and I think his whole purpose, my personal opinion is, his whole purpose of the trip was to kind of slow this down or whatever. They just are against it, and I kind of understand it, but then again, I don't. And the sad part of the whole thing that bothers me the most is they're doing to us now what their relatives 80 years ago did to my mother and my grandmother. And it's over. It's done. It's what it is what it is. And I just don't understand it.
Well, I want to dial this back a little bit for people who don't understand, Jim. Now, who is Richard Harding for people who don't know?
He's the great, nephew, I think.
Great nephew. Okay, so Richard Harding. Richard Harding flies out to see you and invites you out to dinner, and you thought, this is a good thing, and he springs on you in that dinner. I mean, how, I'm guessing I'm trying to figure out, how did this come across?
Well, I don't, it was hard to, you know, I went there with an open mind, and I, you know, I'm one of those guys, I like everybody until they prove me different, and it was nice. It was a nice visit with him. I enjoyed myself with him. I liked him. He's another guy that I realized that, you know, I mean, this is my relative, and it's whatever, and I know that he thinks he's protecting something, but I try to explain to him, you're protecting something that's really mine. I mean, this is my grandfather. They're so concerned that we're doing damage, and this is my grandfather. If anything, I'm the one that should worry about it the most, and I want people to see him as he was and that he was a good man. And I explained to him the thing, you know, because we were having this meeting. He knew about the meeting, and I had told him we were having this get-together, and we thought we might invite a few people to come and kind of make a document of it, and he was so against that. And I don't know if I'm supposed to be outgoing on this, but it's this was just, he just kind of, it just kind of, it was a nice conversation, it was a nice meeting, but there was, the underlying tone was that, you know, why would you do this, and why are we doing this, and why are you doing that, instead of, you know, hey, welcome, this is great, I'm happy to have you here, and I'm this and that, and I just don't understand it. It just, I just, after a while, I realized that this isn't why he's here. He's not here to meet me or anything. He's here to check me out and find out who and what I am, and see if he can kind of slow this down and kind of sweep it under the rug. And I kind of, when I left, I kind of really realized, and I just thought, how dare them? We're back to 1920s. I mean, they're treating us the same way as their relatives did years and years ago, and it's unbelievable.
Now, this is interesting, Jim, because aside from the New York Times article proving that you know, you were the grandson and your mother was the daughter, what had you done in his estimation that you needed to cool down?
Well, they're getting together, and, you know, Peter and I, when we did this, we wanted this to get out. I mean, my whole thing was to get this out to the public. I wanted my grandmother's name cleared. I wanted everything. I wanted everyone to know that she wrote nothing but the truth. Everything was the truth, and that's all she believed in was the truth. That's what she taught us, and none of it was made up. She never did anything that. So anything you read now that she writes, you can take it as it's the truth. And this is what I wanted. I wanted the books corrected. I wanted everyone to know the truth and understand that this is the life she lived, and this was her, and. She felt that, you know, she just, and I'll tell you, one of the things I explained to him, and I don't understand why they don't get this, because, you know, you push the dog up against the wall, he's going to bite. And I tried to explain to him, if you had never, the family had done the right thing. And that's one thing that dawned on me the other day, is that one thing about Warren G. Harding, he did the right thing. And it seems to me like he's the only one in the family that ever did the right thing. Because, so I can't say, because the ones we meet on the good side, they're all for this. They're 100% behind it. They feel what they need to feel about this and everything. But the ones that don't get on board with this are, it's the same scenario as when she wrote the book. If they had done the right thing by her and by their brother and taken care, which is all she asked for, was a trust fund to help raise and educate her and his daughter. If they had done this and done the right thing, she would have never wrote the book, and they would have never been defending anything and never had to go through all this, and they would have never done this, what they did to her. Because what they did to her was obscene. It was terrible what they did to my grandmother. And I try to explain this. You're just doing the same thing, and, you know, this is what people see, that you're still beating us down, and we have the rights. I mean, I think I told you this before. It's like milk. You buy the 1%, you're getting a watered-down version. We're the whole milk. I mean, we are the grandsons of Warren G. Harding. We're the true blood. I mean, we run at 25 to 35% DNA, and they're running at 5 to 4%. So it's just, I understand it, and I really hate to get into it, but I understand what's going on. It's just not right. And we want nothing. I mean, we're not here to take glory away from anybody else or do any of that. We just want the right thing done. And
what do you think he wanted you not to do? Because he said he didn't want, you know, calm it down, don't do anything else.
He doesn't want us to do this right here. He doesn't want us to talk and doesn't want it to go out. He says, and they make the comment, it's not just him. There's other members of the family, and they, of that side of the family, and they don't want us to talk about this. They don't want us to bring this up to the forefront. He explained to me, we're trying to change the image and whatever. Well, we changed the image. We brought him out as a human being and as a decent person, and whether they had an affair, did whatever he did, he still did the right thing. Even in in a terrible situation and whatever, he still never abandoned his daughter and the mother. He took care of her till the day he died, and he was there for her and did what she asked him to do. And I mean, you have to think about that. You know, he did the right thing by her. And nowadays, you guys still don't do the right thing. People are terrible about this and do this. And so he respected her, and that's one of the things about him. This shows he respected her rights. And this is one of the things he was for, women's rights and helping women out. And this is what he did. So you can't get much better publicity than this. He stuck by her and did the right thing when he could have eliminated her at any time, moved her away, given her money, bought her off, whatever he needed to do, and he didn't do any of that. And that proves love, and it proves affection, and it proves caring for her and his daughter, whether he saw her, was a part of her life or not. He did the right thing. That's all I ask for.
What do you think President Harding would think of what's going on today?
I think he'd be very disappointed. I think that he'd be very disappointed. I have kind of an insight to what he's gone through, and I think that this is, I think he's very disappointed. I think he's back there shaking his head and saying, let it go, you guys. Give me what I deserve. And, you know, this was the woman he had a baby with. I mean, he would want this. So I just think that he's very disappointed right now.
Today,
I think he was disappointed when they didn't help her. I think that he was very upset. I think that this would really be a problem.
Today it was announced there'll be a construction of a $7.3 million center here in Marion, Ohio, set to open in 2020. Construction will start in 2017. Restorations to the Harding home will be taking place to commemorate the 100th anniversary of him being elected president in 2020. And I know you wanted to say something, make an announcement. And in regard to that, what do you feel?
Well, I feel it's pretty sad. I don't know about any of this. And when I had the meeting, when we got together in California, Abby had come up to me and asked me if I got my letter, and I said, no, I never got a letter. And she just said, my God, she said, well, I've got one in the car. I'm going to bring it in to and show you what we all got. And so I had no idea what she was talking about, and the next day, I think it was, or later in the day, she brought me a letter from the Harding deal, and she all written up and asking for their opinion on what they're going to do and talking about they're going to remodel the house or bring it all back up to 1920s and blah, blah, blah. And they were asking for input from all of the Harding family. And I never got a letter. None of us received a letter. So she gave me the letter and said, well, I'm going to make a call about this. And so then she called and told me that she had talked to the Sherry at the home and asked her where she got the mailing list and how this happened and what went on, and she said, I got it from the other side of the family, and that's who gave her the list of who to send it to. And it's very disturbing that we're not included in this. This is our grandfather. It's just mind-boggling to me. I just am so lost on this. And so it's disappointing to me, and we have no idea of anything that's going on. And I know we haven't been a part of all this, but we are. And we have been a part of all this. They just have always closed us out. And it's just very disappointing. It's heartbreaking. I just think that it's just not worth this, you know. They need to let it go. And that's the problem. They don't want to let it go. This is what it really boils down to is they I don't I could, you know.
No, so you feel, do you feel you were purposely left off the list?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And what would be the reason for that?
Giving up the throne. And they don't understand, we don't want the throne. But what else would this be? I mean, we're all adults here. We've seen this a million times. And some people are riding this wave, and all of a sudden, if you're ever a surfer, you know that the first one on is the first one to keep it. And they don't like people cutting in. But it comes down to what it is. And what it is that we're the grandsons, the true family of Warren G. Harding. We are really his bloodline. I mean, my mother, you don't get any closer than that. His daughter. And, I mean, ask yourself, no matter what you think of the story or anything, if this was your daughter, would you have wanted her to be treated like this? No. No matter what the circumstances are. And they're still beating us down. It's just, you know, we don't want to run out and speeches and do all this stuff. We just want to be the grandkids. And I want nothing more than for him to get the recognition for the things he accomplished. Incredible things and did wonderful things. And people don't have the stuff I tell them. People don't even know he was a part of that. And he wanted to do so much for women and the first one to go speak to the press. I mean, he did so many things, and people just, he gets a couple bad things because of people that, and things he probably never knew about. So, you know, you kind of, that's what I want for him. And I want everyone to know what he accomplished and what he did, and what he could have accomplished if he was still there, if he hadn't died so young.
Well, it's interesting, Jim, because I guess your other family, I guess Richard is the one we're talking about here, could have left your name off the mailing list, but couldn't the side of Peter and Abigail put it back on? And Sherry, who runs site manager here, and the person who I guess from the Ohio Historical Society, who is heading this all up, I'm sure they're aware of the New York Times article. What do you think's going on there?
I think that, my personal opinion, I think that it's pretty much run by the Harding. I think that that's the final word on stuff, and I just that's my opinion. I think that there's something wrong. But I mean, you know, they gave me the letter that they received, and actually, Abby did call and tell me that she had talked to them at the house and told them that their names needs to be on the list of stuff that's going on. This is his family, and I have not received nothing.
So, Abby did. Now, Abby is the niece. She did not call.
Right.
She did not call the other side of the family. She called the Harding home here in Marion. Spoke to somebody, and
right.
said your name needs to be on this, and yet still nothing
right.
happened.
Nothing. I have not received anything. Nothing. So. I don't know. It's disappointing. I don't know. Maybe it got lost in the mail. I have no idea.
Well, I think at some point this week we're going to have Sherry Hall on, who runs the site over there, and we'll ask her this because it's very interesting that you would not be included. And I guess, what would you like to see happen?
I want in the house. I want a picture of my daughter. My mom. I would like her to have her own little thing there. That is her dad. That was her dad. And he was, whether he knew of her or not, that was his pride and joy. That's what he wanted. He wanted this. And this was a big dream of his, and this is what he would like to have. And she deserves to be in it. I think it's only fair that there should be something. And, you know, if you talk to Sherry, you can ask her about what's the number one question that most people ask when they come through the house. And the number one question she's going to tell you is that most people want to know whatever happened to Nan Britton and the daughter. So, and I was told that quite a while ago. So, it would be nice for that to be in there. They should be together. I think that she should have a spot in that house. I mean, after all, the reality is, that's her house. So, it just seems fair. It seems fair, and I'd like to see something in the museum for my grandmother and my mom. It would be nice to have that in the museum thing there, all taken care of, and have people, let people be aware of what it was and what happened and how it was and who they were. I mean, people don't even know my mom. They don't know anything about her life story or anything. And she is actually the daughter of a president of the United States. And that's pretty interesting.
That'd
be nice for people to go in and just, you know, get to know her and see who she was and what she accomplished and what she did.
That being said, I do believe that Richard and Warren were the two Hardings that were here in Marion today when the announcement was made. If they hear this, or if they hear this, or if they are listening to this, what do you want to say to them?
I can't say that here. I don't know what to say to them. I just want to tell them what goes in our country. They need to get on board and figure out. They need to understand that you do the right thing in life. The right thing follows you. So do the right thing and do what you're supposed to do and think of others. I mean, they have beat my grandmother and my mother down for 80 years. And now's the time that they have the opportunity to correct that and do something right. Finally do something right and give her the recognition she needs and treat her with the respect she deserves. I mean, Christ, it's just, this is their brother's daughter. And how dare them do that to her and treat her that way? How dare them?
That being said, do you think your grandmother, your mother, deserve a wing, a recognition, a place in this Harding Museum that's going to be put together, Harding Center?
Oh, of course. I mean, really, if you think about this, this was the biggest story of the 20s. It was a number one selling book. It was an incredible story. It's a love story. It's the story of a child that never got to know her father. It's a wonderful, warm, nice story, really. If you take some of this stuff out of it, it's a great story. It's a story that people need to know. Because, you know, there's a million people that go through this all the time. It happens right now as we're talking. It's happening somewhere. Someone's abandoning their child or not helping their one that they got pregnant or whatever. And this is what my grandmother thought. This is what she tried to do. She wrote that book and used the money to benefit this. And as growing up, all she wrote a ton of manuscripts. And every one of them had to deal with this. And she went all the way back into Roman times and how they treated women and abused them and disrespected them and how awful women were treated back then. This was her whole object in life. She just dedicated herself to writing about this and doing those things. And it's funny because people call her all kinds of names and stuff when this was going on. And she was the most straight person you've ever met. And when she wrote about books, she'd send her manuscripts out and to try to get them published, and they would write back and say, "We love the book, but you need to put sex, 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 and sex in there." And she refused to do it because it was like it wasn't about that. And she wouldn't get it published. And my mom would tell her, "Mom, you need to do this or it'll never get published." But she would not do that. That wasn't what her idea was. Her idea was to get a story across and explain things the way that how they work and try to get help for women. I mean, she tried so hard to do that. She opened up a place to try to help unwed mothers. And if you think about it, now we have this. Kids are registered to their fathers no matter what and everything. And now they get help from the fathers. And I mean, so much has happened since then. But she started it all. And why wouldn't she want to give her recognition for that and recognition that she raised the daughter of a U.S. president?
Now, that being said, Jim, as we started this interview off, you feel that your grandmother and mother were pushed to the side all their lives. They're both gone now. They could not fight it a whole lot because of the DNA technology not being there for most of their life. But now it's a different tale. Now it's been in the New York Times. Now we know the truth. You still feel you're being pushed to the side like they were. What is Jim Blessing going to do from this point on?
I'm going to work on doing something about it. That's my new goal. I'm going to figure out something. They need to get the recognition. I, I didn't do this for fun. I did this for my grandmother and my mom, and to get her recognition she deserved and get her name cleared and take the word liar and everything else away from her and let people know that all she ever wanted to do was the truth. And that's the one thing about the whole story, is that it shows you that you can tell the truth, and everything isn't a lie, and people do tell the truth. And that's the big plus of this whole story, is that, you know, she was telling the truth, and your last interviewer was the same way. He belittled her to death and never believed the story or anything, and all of a sudden he's coming around now, and now he's realizing. So like Peter said when he read the book, after you read that book, how could you not believe every word in it and believe that it was not believe that it wasn't written by a woman? It's 100% a woman's story. And I go on and look at reviews of people that have read the book now, and they all say the same thing. It was a love story. She was madly in love with him, and she wrote it from her heart and everything. And so, you know, people just need to know that. Reading the book gives you an idea of hope, and that, you know, there is a place for people like that. And things do work out in the end. It took a long time, but it worked out in the end. And I will tell you that I do know that the family knew. They always knew that my mother was his daughter. They always knew it.
How do you know they always knew?
That's the saddest part. It's just crossed my path a few times that I know that they knew. And it's very disturbing. It came down to the same stuff, you know, the wanting and whatever. And it's sad, really. It's very sad that these guys are older. They're so high, but they're older and they don't want to give in on their ways, and they believe this, and they don't want to give up their spot and all this stuff. But you know what? You're getting the time to meet the mater. You better start doing the right things for a change and get this straightened out. It would be so nice. It would be wonderful. And, you know, not to mention, like I told them, if you guys did the right thing, it would show you as a different type of people. But doing this and still doing this and denying stuff, it just makes you look no different. It makes you look bad. I mean, in my eyes, I don't see any other way to look at them, but they're still denying it and fighting it and saying, well, you know, we're going to wait a few years and see if DNA is really that good. You can wait all you want. What it is what it is.
That being said, today I think it will be regarded as a jubilant day here in Marion with the construction of this center being announced and the $7.3 million center and the restoration to the Harding home, and it's set to open on the 100th anniversary of being elected to the presidency. How does President Harding's grandson, Jim Blessing, feel today?
I feel good. I feel disappointed, but I feel good. I think this is nice. I want anything to do with him and giving him his place, I'm all for it. I love it. I never met the man. He's my grandfather. I know him. I know him rather well. And I feel him all the time. And I think he's guided through me parts of my life. And we're a lot alike. I just think it's great. I just want him to get everything
and
he deserves and get the place he deserves.
And if they don't include you in the construction and the putting together of this new place, where do you see yourself going from here? The announcement's been made.
Hey, I don't want to sound like this kind of guy because I'm the nicest guy you'd ever meet. But like I said, you push that dog in the corner, he ain't going to bite. So I'm getting to this point where I'm just done with this. I think it's just terrible that this is still going on. You know, I had this meeting with the Hardings, and it was wonderful. I mean, I looked so forward to it, and it was so emotional and everything. It was just wonderful to meet those people, and I expected that from everybody. I expected us to have this big get-together and everybody show up, and it was wonderful. I mean, men hugging the men and everything, and it was just great. But I expected that from everyone because the truth is finally out, and everybody can just sigh in relief. Oh, my God, it's finally. And not have this tension and do this, and they're still throwing the tension in. They're still throwing it, knocking them out, us down. And it's just, it's awful. It's not right at all.
Jim, I
so I'm going somewhere, but I haven't decided exactly where, but we'll go somewhere with this.
Jim, and I think...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, finish.
Well, I want to ask you, I don't know if you feel I'm wrong, but am I wrong? My brothers and I are his grandson. Would we not be at the top of the list for figuring out something about our grandfather?
You are his grandson, and I think certainly if the people at the Harding home are listening, and maybe some of his family members, I think this is how you feel. You've expressed it. I think they now will do what they're going to do, and we'll find out here hopefully shortly. And I would also guess the people listening in Marion, I mean, this is where it all is, will have something to say about this, and maybe they'll let us know, and we'll, I mean, the email here, scott@wwgh1071.com. Shoot me an email. I'd love to hear what the listeners out there are thinking. And
yeah, I'd like to hear it too.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it will continue on, Jim, and I know you plan to come to Marion at some point. You've never been here. How soon do you see something like that happening? Not an exact date, but a time frame.
I'm working on plans right now. I'm trying to put something together right now. I'm trying to get Peter to come with me. I would love to come with him. And I'd love to meet all of them there. It would be wonderful to do something like that and take all my kids or whatever. But I'm planning on coming one way or the other, myself or Peter or all of us or whatever. I'd like to do a thing there. We'd love to do something because I did a thing with the school there, and it was nice. The kids were great, and they wrote an article in the paper, and I'd love to see something where we have a big get-together, and they do it maybe once a year or something, and, you know, type of a thing, and put some little gathering together for half a day or something. It would be really nice and go do something like that. But I am planning it. I'm working on it right now trying to figure it out because I'd love to. I want to go see the house. I'll tell you a funny story about the house, and this makes you really look at stuff and understand. I was really into architecture growing up, and I loved homes. That's what I do now. I build stuff. And growing up, I used to buy books and look at pictures of homes and stuff and book of plans for house plans and try to think of the house I always wanted and stuff. And my dream home was a house, kind of a Victorian type thing. It's actually, one of them's on my shirt, my company shirt. But one of them was this plan that I picked. It had this really nice round porch on the front corner of it, and the whole front downstairs was undercover. It was all under a roof line, open porch all the way around with this big, huge round thing. And I did not know until later in life when I saw the picture of his home. That was the house that I had dreamed of. And I just find that so fascinating that somehow things connect.
It's an amazing story, Jim, and I hope you will alert us when you're coming, and I hope before you go to the home and the memorial, I hope you'll come and stop by here, and then we can come with you and get your reaction on tape as you see these places for the first time.
Oh, you're invited. I'd love to go with everybody. I'd love it.
Perfect.
Looking forward to meeting you and everybody, and I'll come in and hang out with you, and you buy me lunch and everything.
Hey, there we go. We'll have a good time. You'll do pay the tip. We'll buy the lunch. The grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing. Jim, thank you so much for coming on.
Right. Thank you, and thanks to all your listeners for listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, talk to you.
Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. Well, now, as Paul Harvey used to say, you know the rest of the story. What do you think? What an interesting story. Give us a call, 740-383-9944. We've got about 7 minutes left in the broadcast. We have now heard from Peter Harding, the great-nephew of Warren G. Harding. We have heard from Jim Robinault, the author of The Harding Affair. And we've heard from Jim Blessing, President Harding's grandson. It is an interesting story. That's certain, and it comes on the day that it was announced just hours ago that a $7.3 million center is going to be constructed here in Marion, setting up for 2020 to house this new Harding exhibit and restorations to the home. Hey, you're on WWGH Radio. Go ahead.
Yes, where did Nan live, or Elizabeth?
Elizabeth lived in several different places. She was never in Marion, California for a while, and I believe in Washington for a while.
Is that where President Harding met her, in Washington?
She didn't live in D.C. She lived in Washington State.
Oh, state.
But President Harding died in office, so I guess she moved the baby carriage outside the window, I guess was the story.
Where did you say she lived?
Who, Nan or Elizabeth?
Elizabeth, his...
daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, his daughter lived in California and Washington State.
And that's how he...
And that's how he met her. I believe Nan, her mother, took her to Washington, D.C., and he looked through a window and saw her, but that was the only time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's... What do you think of grandson's words there, Jim Blessing?
Well, I think he's got a right to be among these other people.
What do you think of the Harding family for... not allowing him to do that?
Well, why don't they want him?
Well, I guess because he was outside of the picture for 100 years. I don't really know. We'd have to talk to Richard. I don't know.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe we will at some point.
Yeah, it's too bad he's not.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, maybe you'll get some more calls.
Maybe we'll get some more calls. Thank you for calling in.
Uh-huh.
We have a few minutes left here, 4 minutes left in the broadcast. What do you think about this whole thing? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a ring, and we will get you up on the air and talk about this big day, the day that the $7.3 million Harding Center was announced, and it will be constructed here in Marion. Construction will begin in 2017, wrap up with the grand opening in 2020, the 100th anniversary of the inauguration and election of President Warren G. Harding. And as I say, what do you make of the comments made by Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding? Do you think he's entitled to those comments? Was he right? Was he wrong? What do you think? It is your chance. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I would like to know what Sherry Hall thinks of this, and how is she dictated to?
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. I got an email from Sherry early on today. I know she was at the meeting. I invited her to come on Thursday. She has not accepted, but if she accepts, we will ask her on Thursday.
I'm very interested in that. Who tells her what to do, if she has any authority over any of them?
What's your feeling on what the grandson had to say there?
Well, of course, I accept what he says because it's a matter of fact. And I can understand the Hardings for not accepting it at the time, but it is already a fact, so I think that they should go along with it.
It's interesting. Hey, stay tuned this week. There's going to be much more on this.
I certainly will.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Again, telephone lines are open. Seems to be a hot subject here, and we love hearing from you. 740-383-9944. If you get a busy signal, just means we're on the line with somebody else, but come on and share your opinion. This is your hometown. This is this station, WWGH, named after Warren G. Harding. Do you understand what the grandson Jim Blessing was saying? Do you understand what Peter Harding, the nephew, was saying? We haven't talked to Richard Harding yet, the nephew who is involved in this. Sherry Hall over at the Harding home, we've invited her to come on Thursday. I hope she will be able to come on, sort some of this out. Jim Robinault, the author, was on in the beginning of this, but the Harding Center's coming to Marion in 2020, and construction will start in 2017, $7.3 million, and it's going to be a big few years here in Marion, but the phone lines are open. Have a few minutes left. What do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you think about the whole Harding situation? We still have time to probably fit one more call in, and it could be you if you want to share your opinion. I know you're out there in listener land. 740-383-9944. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, we will have, let me get his name here again. You see how quick it goes with me. We will have James Cronenberger, who was in prison for 18 years incorrectly for attempted kidnapping. He'll be here live in the studio 12:10 to 1 o'clock tomorrow taking your calls. F. Lee Bailey from the O.J. Simpson trial and the Dr. Sam Shepard trial will be here tomorrow 1:10 to 2 p.m. via telephone. F. Lee Bailey. And then on Thursday from 12:10 to 1 p.m. we'll have Ron Schreider, who's running for sheriff here in Marion County this year, unveiling his plan on how to beat the drugs in Marion, 12:10 to 1 p.m. on Thursday. But we still have time for that one call right now on President Warren G. Harding and the situation here in Marion that's happening even as we speak. We heard from the grandson, Jim Blessing. We heard from all kinds of people. And if anybody wants to hear that interview with Jim Blessing, I think we're going to repeat that in about 10 minutes here, and you can get it on the website, www.wwgh1071.com. That will be fun. I don't know if we're going to have Sherry Hull on Thursday night or now. I just got an email from her, but we are going to try to book that and make that happen. I guess nobody else wants to weigh in on this today. Well, stay with us, because as the week progresses, I'm sure this story will as well. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Stay tuned for much more here on WWGH Radio. 944, we're doing current events and we're going to fly through them here. If you want to join in at any time on any current event, any memory, anything you want to throw on the table, now 740-384.